Oh my God. We are back together again. It's Apostle Johnita Collins. We are on round three, okay, of unjust emotions in the ecclesia. I have been teaching you the difference between government and sentiments, okay, when it comes to obedience. We got to learn this, all right? As the ecclesia, we have to know how to walk upright and righteous before our King. And we'll never be able to do it if we don't begin to understand how sentiments have not only been leading you, but it's also been leading the church. Oh my God, I'm coming out the gate. Sentiments have been leading the church. Last week, I went through emotional sentiment, right? I told you I'm going to bring you three different forms. And the reason why I have to bring you these three different forms is because you have to become informed. The scripture tells us what? That my people perish because of a not my people, not God's people. And because you are God's people and you're my people, we're not perishing because of a lack of knowledge. We're elevating and we're stepping into our place as the ecclesia and as the bride found without spot nor wrinkle. Do you hear me today? Do you hear me today? So what we went through last week was emotional sentiment. And it's led by pity, it's led by grief, and it's led by fear. The scripture that I brought out, taught you through was Lot's wife, Genesis 19:26. And listen, I need you to begin to understand and analyze. I need you to begin to analyze the behaviors, the sentiments, the emotions, and the thought processes that are going on in the scripture. Scripture is not designed for us to just read it and not take it in for what it is. God left us these 66 books because it's important to know his world. It's important to know his ecclesia. It's important to know the verdicts. It's important to know the consequences. It's important to know his laws. It's important to know his statutes. Listen, it's important to know how he judges, not how you judge. Come on here. All right, I'm out the gate. So with that being said, I want you to remember that that scripture is really showing the disobedience that's masked as compassion. Remember, I talked to you about your feelings, about your compassion, about the things that you would have mercy over that God says have no mercy over. How can you have mercy on his adversary when he disagrees utterly with his adversary? And these are the sentiments that you have to begin to work out your soul, because your sorrow, your sadness, your kindness, your mercy, your empathy is not God's. He said that there's a way that seemeth right, but at the end thereof is destruction. And that's exactly what we saw with not only Lot's wife, but also with Lot. Is it true or is it true? Okay, because he didn't follow the instructions either. He wanted to go to Zoar instead of to the mountain. So just because he had a longer life, oh, come on here. Just because the implications of his disagreement with his God wasn't evident initially, like his wife, doesn't mean that his life did not show that he utterly was no longer under the covering of his God or the God that he claimed he followed. Come on here today. With that being said, we're getting into part three. Part three, the sentiment that we're going to deal with today and look at the response from this position is cultural sentiment. Oh, come on. I'm going to step all over your toes. I'm going to just let you know right now. I'm going to step all over the form, because many of us have been formed by our culture. And many of us are trying to bring our culture to Jesus the Christ. And he said, wait a minute. I am a holy nation. That means you must become transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to me. He never said, bring your blackness to heaven. It won't exist. You're not going to find blackness. You're not going to find the black ecclesia and the white ecclesia and the Italian ecclesia. Come on here, because this is the problem with the church. The church is made by human hands, and you can tell because it's divided even by color. What is this thing called the black church? If somebody is supposed to be the head of the black church, you're not the head of the black church. Jesus is the head of all churches. Yes. He's the chief cornerstone. How did one person or an organization start having all the power and all the say, even as to what is kingdom or not? You a lie from hell and a phony in the faith. Cultural sentiment. I want you to understand that when you operate out of cultural sentiment, that you are yielding to what is popular. Come on, body of Christ. You are yielding to what is popular, not what is word, not what is scripture, not what is the prophetic mandate, not what is the apostolic mandate. You're yielding to what is popular. And we will see this through the life of Saul as he saved that livestock, all right? You'll find it in 1 Samuel 15 through 9, all right? And the thing that Saul showed forth was absolutely the fact that we as a people still continue to do this. What do? We try to disguise rebellion as reason. Oh, come on here. Come on here. We try and flip the script and pretend that we are not absolutely rebellious and rebelling against the Lord our God. And then we try and act like it's unto him. Oh, shoot. We out the gate. Yielding to what is popular. How do we look at that? I need you to look at it from this perspective. Yielding to what's popular is when you allow culture to dictate to you what God is saying. When you bring in culture into the things that God has said, when you generate culture as the standard to what God is saying, when you offer back to God your own culture. Oh. When you pay up to God through culture. So in other words, you're not going to go to the church that's teaching you the word. You're going to go to the church that makes you feel good with your sentiments. And the reason why we can say that is because every church doesn't look alike. Is it true? You can find, you know how they're even using language like this. I found my tribe. Come over here and find your tribe. No, why don't you just find the ecclesia and work out your soul salvation? Why don't you just become the ecclesia without spot nor wrinkle? Because that has nothing to do with everybody being able to relate to everybody. It has everything to do with everyone being able to relate to eternity. Everyone being able to relate to the King as the King of all kings, to the Lord as the Lord of all lords. Come on here. I'm helping you today. I want you to think about yielding to what's popular when you provide God a sentimental answer through your culture, through your lens, through how you were raised, as if God doesn't know. And he still requires you to work out your soul salvation and to respond to him, because he said, as
yes, he is, so are we
in this world. Come on here. Y'all got to get quicker with this. He says what?
As he is, so are we in this world.
So if he has already declared that as he is, so are you in this world, what does your culture have to do with him? How are you supplying him with your cultural answers? How are you discharging from your office in the kingdom as a culture? Not as a king. Come on here. Oh, my God. How are you bringing forth your culture and not bringing forth his scripture, his standards, his statutes? We have to begin to look at these things. So when I say cultural sentiment, I am wanting you to understand that these are the things that you are yielding to God. Okay. Now, the other thing I want you to think about is popular, because I said yielding to what's popular. You're giving God what's popular on earth and not giving God what is the statue according to eternity. So when you think about popular, because I know that you have not taken the time to break this down and think about it. That's why I'm doing it like this, because as we move forward and we begin to break that scripture down, I want you to think about these things. When one is presenting back to God or following God out of cultural sentiment, they're following God out of what is attractive to them. Oh, come on. That's why we have that tribe thing going on. So you're yielding to God what's attractive to you. Right? So God may want you to work with the person that may not be as beautiful as you would like, or may not have the level of intelligence that you would like, but it doesn't mean that you are not called to work with that person, but because of your own attractions, you will bypass that which God has called for you, ordained for you to work with, because it doesn't fit your bill. Oh, come on here. Cultural sentiments. I need you to understand how culture is guiding you through your sentiments, through your upbringing, through your surroundings, through your attractions, through what? What's famous. Just because Billy Bob is a famous minister here on earth, it doesn't mean that Billy Bob is the one God will allow in to heaven. Doesn't mean Billy Bob has the answers. And the reason why I say that is because depending on who you're under, who you've been listening to, who you have found attractive, they may not even be in Christ. The way that they teach, the way that they preach may not be scripture, but because it's fashionable, because it's prominent, because it's the trend, because it's fresh, because it's the prevalent person, all of you Christians are following them to hell. Oh, come on here. Let's be honest. The culture, the fashion. And the reason why I have to bring that out is because when you yield to what's popular and try and bring it into King Jesus and answer him through that, I want you to realize that you are answering through what's suitable for your flesh, what's suitable for yourself, not what's suitable for the king. And if I have not taught you one thing, I've taught you, you got to turn this thing around and you have to serve the king as the king he is. Oh, come on to that. Not what's prevalent and trending. Not how the culture is responding to God, but how God wants to be responded to. Oh. Because you know there's a gospel out here called Unitarianism. Did I say it right? Okay, I said it right. And it's full of universalism. It's full of every other God. You may not know it because they have Jesus' name intertwined in there, or they're just using God, but they're teaching a false gospel. And it's quite prevalent and it's quite prominent in crescendo, but it doesn't make it the evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ's truth. So when God gives you a command, when he's requiring something of you, you can't respond back to him out of universalism. Listen, I'm just going to teach you today. I'm standing here flat-footed because I need you to understand. There'll be no hooting, no hollering. I don't tend to do that, but I might be a little strong. Right, but you won't get the from me because I'm not that kind of a teacher or preacher. You might get a though. Nevertheless, my only point is this. I have to teach this to you because my only interest is for you to be set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And many of you are lost in cultural sentiment when it comes to the King, and you can't get free because you won't free yourself from your own culture. Come on. But scripture tells us we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And until you accept that and understand that and move away from that and come into your kingdom identity, it's going to be hard to fulfill the will of God. The other piece that I want to teach you today is culture, 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 culture. Yielding to what's cultural, the culture of today, the culture of society. Do you not know that the culture is what you've been cultivated in? How can you bring to the King who wants to cultivate you in his mind? He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. Oh, that's cultivating you into his kingdom, into eternity, into his world. He said, I want you to have the mind of Christ. I want you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's cultivating you into his world. Oh, come on here today. Come on here today. If you don't understand that you cannot bring your family lineage and your cultural lineage into the kingdom, you have to it's a reason why he said, but you are engrafted. You're engrafted into the kingdom. You're engrafted into the will of the King. You're engrafted into his life. You're engrafted into eternity. Listen, you have to want to return back to eternity. And you can't return back to eternity still connected to your natural bloodline. Still thinking that you can bring all of your discriminations, all of your enlightenment, all of your politeness, all of your refinement, all of your cultural tactics, all of your cultural training, all of your cultural customs. And all of what you want to raise up. Oh, come on here. I just ran it down. So if you haven't learned anything else just in this moment, you have learned that you have to look at yourself and look at your sentiments and understand if your sentiments are cultural and creating a conflict with your King. We want to take a look at Saul at this point. 1 Samuel 15 and 9 says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refused that they destroyed utterly. I want somebody to go back. Who has 1 Samuel 15 for me? All right, I want you to go up to where Saul receives the command of the Lord. Just go ahead and start, because this is at 9. So go ahead and start at 1. But I need you to speak up so you can be heard. KJV or ESV? Yeah, let's start with KJV. I think that is plain enough for those out there can understand, for them to understand.
Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy.
Wait a minute. He said, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy what?
All that they have and spare them not.
Okay, let's just stop right there. I just said to you at verse 9, it shows, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and of the fatling and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. Oh, come on here. Continue.
But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in 10 lanes, 200,000 foot men and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for ye shewed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah, until thou comest to Shur, that this is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the rest of the...
Did it just say, but Saul spared the people? Wait, what did it say?
It said, but Saul and the people spared Agag.
Okay, let me say it right. But Saul and the people with him, his army, his warriors, his followers, his believers, the ones that were on assignment with him, spared Agag. But we read earlier that what?
He wasn't supposed to lose and destroy everything.
Destroy everything. Destroy everything. Okay. All right, keep going. So we seeing some problems already, right? Mm.
And the best of the sheep. Okay, so, but Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and the oxen, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good. And when
did he just spare
everything?
The fatlings? I mean, did we just... All right. The oxen. All right. He spared. Again. Go ahead.
And would not utterly destroy them.
Would not
everything that was vile, and refused that they have destroyed utterly.
Mm-hmm.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments."
Okay. Let's just stop right there, because this is all about, don't forget your obligatory service. Don't forget what we're working with. This still goes back to 3 weeks ago, right?
Right.
And what we're looking at, we had to stop and break down sentiments, because many people started asking about sentiments, and I had to teach you what? Well, your sentiments are ruling you. You have the mind of your sentiments and not the mind of Christ, and that's an issue. You have the mentality of your emotions and not the mentality of eternity. Come on here. So now today, we already went through emotional sentiments with Lot and his wife. Now we're going over cultural sentiments, because last week I told you I'm going to give you three. Three very important sentiments that I need you to begin to evaluate and assess yourself and wonder, are you doing the same things? Because I promise you, you are. I promise you. With that being said, when it comes to cultural sentiments, listen, Saul's rebellion actually was disguised as reason. Why do we say that? Because he had a divine instruction. The divine instruction, once again, we saw the divine instruction in with Lot and his wife, right? It was what?
Pity.
No, what was the divine instruction? What did and what?
Don't look back.
Thank you. Come on, y'all. Right? It wasn't just one part, and y'all just showed just how quickly you can forget the second part. You have to take in the full word. You have to take in the full instruction. This comes to your listening skills. Because you cannot be with God and you cannot hear. You have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And you cannot only hear the parts that you like, but oftentimes we do. Divine instruction. Now go and smite Amalek. Utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. Spare them not. This was not a suggestion, guys. I want you to remember, God doesn't give us suggestions and options and things. He doesn't speak like that. He's the chief commander. He's commanding us. These are governmental assignments, governmental commands, because it's good to him. It's good for him. It's what he sees fit. The day that you decide to do what he sees fit versus what you see fit is the day that your life begins to change. This was a governmental command, right? Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Come on here. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. This doesn't say thus saith his friend, his army buddy. Because the major problem is we keep forgetting that we work for a king. We keep forgetting that we are here to do the Lord's work. If you could only understand. Many of you have built a church unto yourself, not unto the king. That's why he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because you have to be willing to do the divine instruction, not the cultural sentiment. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have not noted what Amalek did to Israel. I have noted what Amalek did to Israel. Now go and destroy Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them. That's the ESV version. So if the Lord has taken the time to note what Amalek did to Israel and he does not find it acceptable, do you not realize Amalek is now his what? Adversary, his enemy. Come on here. And I keep teaching you that you have to love what he loves and hate what he hates. That is scripture all day and all night. You must love what he loves and hate what he hates. So if he loved Amalek today, and now he hates Amalek and he's rendered judgment, you don't get to take your cultural sentiment and say, I'm not going to destroy it. This was a governmental command, guys. I need you to understand, Ecclesia of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord speaks, and he is still speaking out through his very scripture how to respond to situations all day and all night. And he's still speaking out through his scripture how to build a relation with the Holy Ghost and how to handle his ecclesia. He's still speaking out because he said, wait a minute, I'm coming back for an ecclesia without spot nor wrinkle. That's one that can follow the instructions. That's one that's in agreement with him. He said, but if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. He didn't say, if you listen, enjoy and live your life and have a good time. As a matter of fact, he said, you've already received your reward. So get from before me. I never knew you. And if you didn't understand that this governmental command was a full instruction, it was complete. He was detailed. There was nothing ambiguous about there. There was nothing to question. Just follow what's being said. And many of you have a problem with just following what's being said. You always got a question, but I told you last time, your questions are sending you to hell. Because your questions are not real questions. Your questions are disguised defiance. The instructions were full, they were final, and they were very hot. They were fierce. In some kind of way, Saul could not fulfill. I want you to look at this. It says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep. Wait a minute. He said to destroy all, spare nothing. Don't spare a life. Don't spare a sheep. Don't spare a cattle. I need you to see how your partial obedience is not the full measure of obedience for the King of all kings. When he gives you a command, it is full, it is complete, and it should be carried out from beginning to end. And I know that many of you, listen, you do it to your life. You won't get completely healed or delivered because you think a partial obedience is the full measure of your deliverance and your healing. Oh, I just popped. I did. Because you want to show God, but I did do this part. And he's like, yeah, but I'm looking for the part that you're hiding. Remember, I keep telling you what's under the rug, not what's under the blood. And you want to present to God what you have put under the blood, and you don't want to bring what's under the rug before the King of all kings and put it under the blood. You don't want to do that. So that's considered partial obedience, partial healing, partial deliverance. Come on here. I want you to understand that your reasoning, just like Saul's reasoning overruled the instruction, and that's a whole problem. Saul's reasoning overwrote the instruction from the commander, from the chief, from the Lord of hosts. Okay, let me say it like this. Let me say it like this. Saul's reasoning allowed him to bring forth his cultural idea. Saul's reasoning allowed him to bring forth what was suitable for him, not for God. Suitable for him according to what he thought was best. Saul's response of overriding the instruction, listen, caused him to show what his customs were all about and what his customs raised up. So in other words, that was what he valued. Oh. And he forgot to see the value and what the king valued. And the king valued what? Following his instructions all the way to the end. And Saul defeated the Amalekites, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. He would not destroy what looked good culturally. Come on here. He would not destroy what was economically valuable to him, which was livestock. Oh, surely you can't be telling me to throw away those shoes. Do you know how much money I spent on the, oh, surely. I'll use myself. You know, I used to have some really, really fun boots and shoes. My daughter was just saying the other day, Mom used to really wear a lot of boots. I forgot how many boots you had. But my boots were thigh high boots. And as God began to change me from the inside out, he didn't find it appropriate for me to wear these thigh-high boots. Because how could people tell a difference between me, who is now a messenger of his gospel, and the one swinging on a pole? You could not tell the difference. Come on here. Come on, healing and deliverance. You can't look the same and say that Christ has changed your life. Come on here. There are some things that are just offensive. And that is offensive to my King. How I present myself, what I put on my body as I'm preaching this gospel. I can't look like a pole dancer and preach the gospel and then say, but I'm being culturally relevant. That's the problem right there. Why do you have to be culturally relevant when the Lord thy God said, wait, draw all men to me, not to you? So I had no issue with getting rid of certain shoes and certain boots and certain clothing. Why? It was no longer relevant and important to me because I was not living or representing the culture that I used to live in and represent. I'm not saying I was a pole dancer. What I'm saying is I like those thigh-high boots. That's what I'm saying. And because they were fashionable, I could get away with doing it because I was not in Christ Jesus. But when he gave me this new heart and when he changed my mind, when my spirit became changed and new, I could no longer agree with my former culture. I had to agree with my King of all kings. And what king do you know walked the face of the earth as a pole dancer and not royalty? Tell me. No, because you're not a king nor a priest. You're a cultural. Saul would not destroy what looked good culturally. He would not destroy what was looked good and profitable to him economically, what he valued. But what does that have to do with the word of the Lord? He allowed cultural logic to override spiritual obedience. Your cultural values are overriding your spiritual obedience to the King of all kings because you are processing through your cultural sentiments. Come on here. I told you I was going to teach you about your cultural sentiments. Come on here. I need you to understand that that's happening right here today through these churches and through these leaders that are saying that they are with God. What do God need a leader to have a marijuana farm in the back of their church for? That's cultural. That's cultural. That's cultural logic that does not belong in the ecclesia. That's cultural processing. Because it's gonna draw all the weed heads. So the weed heads now get to smoke weed and sit up in the church and be high or go get they fix after service. Well, how are we working this? How are we working this? Because this is not the gospel. This is not Jesus Christ. And this is not the way. This is not the truth. This is not the life, nor is it the light. How do we think we can now infiltrate culture into the ecclesia and call it God? You can't. You're disobedient, out of order, and not with Christ. How do we know that? Because Saul's life did not end well. I don't see any place in the scripture where you are simply rebellious and operating out of your sentiments where your life ended well. And I want to put you on notice today, even right now here today, your life will not end well because you are living out of your sentiments and not living out of the scripture. And you can't change it because the scripture is final and it is fierce as well. Saul allowed cultural logic to override spiritual obedience. This is what cultural sentiment looks like when reason, economy, and optics, your lens, what you see, seduce you and seduce the leaders away from God's instructions, because he was certainly seduced by his cultural sentiment to not do the complete work, to not destroy what God said destroy, and to keep it intact. Come on here. Foul and unfaithful. Foul and unfaithful. And a huge fallacy that cost him his life. If you keep reading along, Saul's justification. Listen to me. He said, I have performed the commandment to sacrifice unto the Lord. I have performed to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Listen, how many of you are spiritualizing rebellion, disguising it as obedience, disguising it as worship? No, no, I kept the good ones to sacrifice these to your God, to your Lord. Because that's what he said. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Did he perform the commandment of the Lord? No. You see how we switch this out when we do a little partial? And we really think we're going to get away with this lie. The lies we tell and the truth we elude. Go back and watch that. You're going to learn. You're going to learn. You're going to learn about sentiments. They had brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. For the people spared the best of the sheep. What? For the people spared the best of the sheep. For the people gave up the best of the sheep. For I kept the best of the sheep. But that's not what God said. He said destroy. Destroy. What are you sparing in your day-to-day life that God is desiring to destroy? Destroy, destroy. I want you to do a whole study for yourself about destroy and spare. Do you not know when God is saying spare and you're destroying? And do you not know when you're destroying when God says spare? Oh, come on here. Because this is one of the key elements of even being a minister of the gospel, even a key element of being in the gospel. Can you move as he moves? Are you destroying what God is saying keep and keeping what God is saying destroy? Oh, come on here. Oh, come on here. Because God may have said separate from that adulterous marriage. You have every right to. And you stay. And you saying to God, fix my marriage. And he's like, I already gave you the way out. And you're still there. Ah, come on here. Because see, we want God to do things that's not within his realm, his preview. He already has said what he said. And it is final. And we don't want to treat him like what he has to say is final. We always try to have a negotiation and a conversation that is unnecessary. And Saul came, and Samuel came to Saul. And then, by the way, y'all see this prophet, right? So you prophets that's not doing your job, that you can't go and confront what's not God, You can't confront in truth what is not God when people are trying to tell you it's God. You're going to have even more strikes too. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed be you to the Lord. Blessed be you to the Lord. Blessed be you." Listen, this is the kind of stuff that we do. Right? We start talking that religious lingo. Blessed be you to the Lord. No, 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 no. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. They have brought them from the Amalekites for the people spared the best of the sheep to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Now he trying to make this like, oh, come on here. I got something for the Lord. This is, I did what the Lord asked me to do. You lying, you're deceitful, and you're trying to intentionally be misleading. How many of you is this from day to day? Deceitful, lying, and intentionally being misleading because you don't want to be obedient. You don't want to do the work of the Lord. You don't want to work out your soul salvation. So you're always offended by truth. You're always offended by instructions. You're always offended by getting free. You're always offended. Oh, I could go down the line. Deception. He claimed obedience while practicing disobedience. Is that you? Is that you? He spiritualized rebellion while repackaging it as worship. I'm worshiping, I'm honoring, I'm revering. These are the sheep that I kept for the Lord our God. No, because the Lord our God said he didn't want any of those sheep. So how did you just, oh, come on here. Listen, that's the worst thing you can do to me. Don't ever come to me with a lie based off of your motives. Something that you want to do and you trying to act like you including me, I'm going to fire you up. I'm going to tear that devil right on down because that's a frontal offense. It's a frontal offense. This is a frontal offense. He's not hiding. He's coming right and he's speaking right to the Lord's representative, his prophet, Samuel. And he's telling Samuel a bold-faced lie. Right to his face. Don't do that. That's not wise. That's not wise in the kingdom. I promise you it's not. It's going to cost you your life. Saul's justification. I have performed the commandment to sacrifice unto the Lord. Is that you? But we got a prophet here. We got a prophet here. Because if you keep reading, Samuel rebukes Saul. Didst thou not obey? This is evil in the sight of the Lord. He's questioning. And if you know me, I'm going to ask you a question. Ooh, my questions be lightning. Oh, I be getting them. You gotta get them. You don't let devils run rampant. What? What? They're not rulers. We're the rulers. And it's your job to shut them down. I don't let devils run rampant in my congregation. Then I don't need to have a congregation. Because what am I doing? Because I'm not producing any fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ, just allowing my congregants to do whatever they want, say whatever they want, and be under whatever God they claim they want. Because if you're going to be here, you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be like Samuel, didst thou not obey? Did it evil in the sight of the Lord? What is wrong with you? Why did you not obey? Do what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Listen. I need you to understand selective that when you are selective in your obedience, it is still evil unto the Lord. Do what was evil in the sight of the Lord. God sees your selective obedience as evil. He doesn't glorify that. He doesn't see that as a win unto him. He's not going to put his glory on that. That's vile in his eyes. Any kind of disobedience is absolute vile in his eyes. So just because you are declaring that it's partial, he looks at it as full. Why? Because he gave clear instructions and you didn't fulfill them. And he's going to judge you accordingly. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? This prophet right here is confronting Saul and giving Saul a verdict. This prophet is judging Saul. You can't say, don't judge me. That's not scripture. Scripture says what? You're going to be judged to the measure in which you judge. So in other words, keep yourself holy and righteous. Know the laws and the commandments so that you can judge accordingly. And when I judge you, we on the same accord. Come on here. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It does not say do not judge. It says you will be judged according to how you judge. So Samuel, this prophet, he said, hold on, brother man. You sitting up here trying to dupe me? I'm a prophet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got the Holy Ghost with me. This is how you're supposed to respond when you know the Holy Ghost. But listen, y'all, think it wasn't moving. The Holy Ghost was still moving. The Holy Ghost has been with God and with Jesus forever. Just because he sent it in a specific dispensation to do a specific work doesn't mean it did not exist, because I promise you the Holy Ghost existed. The Holy Spirit existed. But the important part is to see how you gonna duke somebody out that walks with God. You can't. How you gonna duke somebody out that's keeping the commandments? You can't. Now, when they stop, that's a different game. But as long as they with the Lord Jesus Christ and following, they're committed to hearing. Prophets are supposed to be committed to hearing from the Lord thy God. Prophets are supposed to be committed to being divine communicators. They're supposed to be able to hear from the Lord thy God for truth in order to judge the situation and to produce and bring to the earth that which the God see, which God sees fit. And what is God seeing fit? Judgment on Saul. Because just like he sent Samuel to pronounce him as, thank you, it just slipped out of my head. I'm sitting over here, I've been talking and doing so much research. I'm like, as present, because I'm trying to bring this concept down to earth for us to understand and not keep it so much in the scripture, because what happens with the body of Christ is now God is over here, Samuel is over here, Saul is over there, God is afar, and now you can't process and see how this is still intertwined in right now today. So in my head, I was thinking president. That's what I was thinking. But I don't want to get to that analogy yet, right? Saul being pronounced as king. And now he's coming and he's pronouncing him as doing evil work. Saul is saying, well, wait a minute. Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And as Saul is trying to say, but I did this, I disobeyed as a strategy to bless God. I disobeyed as a, this is not disobedience. This is just a strategy that I used to get the best sheep to bless the Lord. Come on here. Come on, y'all understand what I'm saying? Because
yes.
We do this all the day to God. That's not what I meant. That's for those of you who like to tell what you didn't mean. No, it's exactly what you meant. You was just hoping and praying that you didn't get called out, that you didn't get caught. You was just hoping and praying that you was dealing with someone who had no wisdom like you. But when you deal with the wise, when you deal with the Ancient of Days, when you deal with the one who was, who is, and is to come, you're not dealing with someone who has no wisdom. You're dealing with someone who has all wisdom. You're dealing with someone who is not going to bless your ignorance. Who's not going to say okay and clap their hands and agree with your flexibility. Oh, I heard you, God, but I think that it's better that we go on over here and we're gonna spare Agai, and you know what? We're gonna spare some sheep. No, I think that's the best way to do it. Oh, come on here. That's the problem. You flexible, and you're not firm. You have no firm foundation. You have a flexible foundation. And you always flexing the fact that you have a flexible foundation through your disobedience. Listen, come on down this road with me a little bit more. Because I'm walking you through this thing line upon line upon line, precept upon precept upon precept. Because I need you to understand what happened next. God's verdict is coming. Scripture says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Oh, I'm going to take a sip. This is for all of you who say, no. I'm not practicing witchcraft. You sure about that? According to what? Your cultural sentiments is absolutely witchcraft. Why? Because God has already spoken it. And I agree with God. This is not an argument. This is not a conversation. See, the problem is you don't read your Bible. You can't find yourself in the scripture. And people are preaching to you a false doctrine, a different doctrine. But I'm going to preach the same gospel as Jesus Christ. I'm not going to give you a different doctrine. I'm going to give you what the scripture says so that you can go and read it for yourself. This is 1 Samuel 15. You can read it from the top to the end. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness as idolatry. Rebellion is as divination. Presumption as idolatry. This is for you who presume that you can be so flexible. This is for you who always are changing the rules, the regulations, always changing the instructions, always only hear, oh, you know what? I didn't hear that part. I didn't remember that part. I didn't, you know what? I know that you said it, but I didn't think that part was that as important. So I only did this part. And you know, not only did I do this part, but I also did it that way. Well, God says is idolatry. Come on here. Get yourself free. Because just because you're reasoning according to your cultural sentiment, it is still witchcraft in God's eyes. And the issue is we don't process God, and we don't process our implications, and we don't process our decision-making through the eyes of God. We want to process our wrongness, our rebellion, through the eyes of ourselves, our culture, our emotions, through the eyes of our sentiment. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. How many of you love to say this? Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's why we like, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hey, obedience. We love to say it. But guess what? We don't love to do it. We don't want that. We don't want that. Hey, we don't want to be found faithful and obedient. We want to be found flexible and in our flesh. Bold to obey is better than sacrifice, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity in idolatry. How many times do I keep telling you, born in sin, shaped in iniquity? Okay, let's put it together now, because I teach about this all the time. Sin is of witchcraft, born in sin. You're born in witchcraft. You're born in witchcraft. You're born in witchcraft. And stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Well, if you're born in witchcraft and shaped in iniquity and idolatry, come on here. How you gonna make it with the king without having a heart transplant, having a heart of flesh? And how are you gonna make it with the king without being renewed in the spirit of your mind? How you gonna do this? How? I see no evidence of being able to do this without what he says is the way. How are you going to do this without the Holy Ghost? This is for you who know the word but don't have the Holy Ghost to help you process it. How? I just don't see you advancing, and I don't see you advancing the kingdom. Actually, I see you as a problem in the kingdom that's going to get hewed down. That's what's going to happen. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, for rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Listen to me and hear me well. Rebellion that looks reasonable is still rebellion, and it will be rebuked. Spiritual lies and disobedience doesn't sanctify it. It actually condemns it. Come on here. You want to live a life of condemnation? Keep spiritualizing your disobedience and not finding truth or the ability to obey and finish the work and finish the directions. Keep not having an ear to hear. Keep thinking that it's okay to do it your own way. Keep thinking God is so flexible. He's not flexible. That's why he said it's finished. He's finished. Oh, okay. I'll say it again. He's not flexible. Hey, he's finished. He's finished. He's finished. He's not flexible. Hey, he's finished. He's finished. It's a finished work. It's a finished work. You don't have the flexibility to begin to change his mind because his mind is already made up. He knows what's best and he knows what he wants. And that's the bottom line to that one. Unfortunately, I need for you to understand what really took place here. I need you to look at it from this perspective. Saul's cultural sentiment, okay? He couldn't follow the instruction to utterly destroy all. No, you know what, God? I know you said utterly destroy all, but you know what I think I'm going to do? This is where he deviated from God's will, from God's plan, from God's instructions, from God's command, however you want to look at it. This is where he deviated. He spared Agag and the livestock. That's a period. Direct offense. Stop being so offensive in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and expect him not to retaliate. His justification was that he saved the best for sacrifice. God didn't ask for a sacrifice. Stop giving God what he never asked for. Come on here. Because he's asking you to be a living sacrifice, and instead you want to sacrifice everything else. No, I don't want to sacrifice me, God. Surely you don't want me to be a living sacrifice. How about this sheep? How about this dog? How about this? Come on here. But the other part is the fact that God is exposing you. You did evil in the sight of the Lord. Exposure, exposure. This is the hour where the Lord thy God is judging our sentiments, and our sentiments are being exposed. You did evil in the sight of the Lord. And not only is he exposing it, and then he's going to show why he's judging it. And why did he judge it? Because rebellion is equal to witchcraft. Your presumptuousness is equal to idolatry. It's equal to iniquity. Come on here and get saved for real. Come on here and deliver yourself. Because many leaders still do this today. They obey partially, then dress it up as ministry. Come on here. He spared what God commanded him to destroy and claimed it was worship. Well, they building up churches and saying that it's worship to God, and all these people that's in their congregation is for God, and all the people in the congregation is actually for the devil, because they're not helping them to get free, and they're going to go to hell, not because they didn't come into the church looking for God. They're going to go to hell because they came to church and they found their same old sin and iniquity, and they yoked up with it. I need you to understand the face of cultural sentiments. I need you to understand that your cultural sentiments is destroying your relationship with the real Jesus, with the real King. Come on here. Because your rebellion cloaked in reason is not a reason for the one who is the true and living God to spare you. I need you to understand, just like Saul, if you are keeping what looks good, in other words, your little facade that you good, you blessed and highly favored, you're all right. If you keep what looks good, if you keep what makes economic sense, so in other words, you looking good, good brings value to your social status. Come on, we got a whole bunch of fakes and phonies on social media talking about they millionaires and they this and they that. Just because they can put some makeup on and put some a little Gucci belt on and a little Versace and all of this. And then guess what? They value go up. But their souls are going down. Because when you keep the facade that God wants you to take off, when you keep the personal lie that you all good, you looking good, you're sounding good, but you're not good. You're utterly rebellious, and you're rebelling against the King of all kings. You're trying to seem like you're useful, even though, here's the truth of the matter, all of that is really cursed. Let me tell you why. The sheep were cursed. How are you going to sacrifice to the Lord thy God something that's cursed? Because once he says get rid of it, it's cursed. Come on here today. Once he says I have no use of it, it's cursed. Oh, come on here, Ecclesia. Get cleaned up. Because I'm coming for a church without spot nor wrinkle. I'm coming for an Ecclesia without spot nor wrinkle. Come on here. You can't give God what's cursed. He don't want your filth. And you're trying to literally give a filthy sacrifice unto God. You're a lie and a shame and a scam. God will never accept disobedience. And just because it's cloaked in religion, it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it upright. And it doesn't make it rebellion. I mean, it doesn't make it righteous. It's absolutely rebellion in the worst way. But the other thing I want you to understand is that rebellion is not always loud. Because this wasn't a loud rebellious move. He wasn't loud about it. He was sneaky about it. He was silent about it. He, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to take all of this out. And here he came out with the wrong things. He didn't take it all out. He didn't complete the assignment. No, that was quiet. Because loud rebellion was, as we looked last week, oh, wait a minute. Let's negotiate this. Can I go over here to the small town and not up the mountain? That's loud rebellion. If y'all notice, he didn't ask a question. Today, we didn't go through any question asking. He went on down there and just made a decision. And many of you are just like that. You start off going off, doing it right, but you make a decision along the way. You changed your mind. You became flexible. You decided how you wanted to do it. You decided what was best for you. You decided what God should like and what God should accept and how God should just work with you. Oh, wait a minute. You became your own God. Rebellion isn't always loud. It's sometimes strategic. And there was a whole diabolical strategy against the Lord Jesus Christ. It was utterly offensive. And the problem is when you operate like that, oftentimes it's a little too late for you to understand that heaven, all of eternity, is not in agreement with you. Sometimes it's just a little too late because you play too much, but you played with the wrong one. So the truth of the matter is Saul learned a little too late that eternity doesn't bend for cultural preferences. And I'm here to admonish you today. Learn today that eternity still does not bend for cultural preferences. I'm Apostle Johnita Collins. I do this every Sunday to break you free. I do this every Sunday for you to understand how the Lord Jesus Christ has a way and he has a will. And if you want to get with him, if you want to live with him in eternity, here's my suggestion. You better go back and watch these messages over and over again and get saved for real. Because unfortunately, many of you are not saved because you do not know the king. You do not know the kingdom and you have no care for his citizenry. Now, I do want you to understand, though, there's a promise. If you do it his way as he is, so are you in this world, and you'll clean up your life. He said, work out your own soul salvation. You got the power to do it. He said, new mercies every day. And he's going to take you from glory to glory. But the first thing you have to do is stop prostituting your culture and your sentiments and come into the kingdom and pay your vows. With that being said, I'm Apostle Johnita. God bless each and every one of you. And I will see you next Sunday.